Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, what we're doing is we're building out what we consider to be the first phase of a surface subway system. And, you know, you can't build subways quick enough to meet the mobility needs of New Yorkers. We can't dig our way out of the problems that our mass transit system faces with overcrowding and rising fares and reduced service. So subways aren't always the final solution for New York. So we're moving forward with BRT.
BRT. You might not have heard those last three letters at the end there, but they were BRT, and that was New York City Department of Transportation Commissioner Jeanette Sadi Khan talking on this program about BRT, the plans to go forward with bus rapid transit in New York City. Now, that interview was 7 months ago, and last night the City of New York unveiled the next official step for BRT in the city. It's a bus line running down 2nd Avenue, a new kind of bus line. We are joined now by WNYC's own Andrea Bernstein, who just came back from D.C., where she got a look at the Transportation Research Board's big plans for New York, and she's been studying up on these 1st and 2nd Avenue BRT plans and new kind of bike lane plans. Hi, Andrea.
Good morning, Brian.
So you heard the interview with Commissioner Sadi Khan back then. What happened from the conceptual plan for the BRT to the realization on 2nd Avenue? There's news, right?
Well, yeah, and let me just say that they haven't sort of nailed down the final details. This is still in the sort of public comment phase, although it's pretty rapid. I mean, they're hoping by the fall of this year, by October of this year, to have actually this system up and running. I think that the biggest piece of news out of this is that there was a number of sort of advocacy group and technical experts on bus rapid transit systems around the globe were encouraging the city and the MTA to create segregated bus lanes, physical barriers, so that automobiles cannot drive into those lanes. And that plan was vetoed by the MTA. They were very concerned that delivery trucks would get stuck in the bus lanes, they wouldn't have anywhere to go, and the buses would be trapped, and that would be the end of the transit. So that has disappointed some of the advocates who say that increased enforcement in New York doesn't really work, and that you see with the experiment up in the Bronx with the Select Bus Service, even with lights on the buses that flash at cars and big, bright bus lanes,
that's
you still
have the BX-12, which goes across Fordham Road
right.
and Pelham Parkway, this one route that has, like you say, the big, bright lights, and it has special special technology that can actually make the lights stay green longer
right.
for them as they go,
right.
as well as the limited stops, which is supposed to make it mimic a subway line.
Right. So that was sort of the kind of sort of biggest disappointment for some people was that they weren't going to separate out the lanes. The MTA says, well, you can do it through enforcement. One of the big stumbling blocks for enforcement in New York is that the state legislature hasn't approved a large number of red light cameras. So there is a limited ability, unless the state legislature, green lights the red light program, to do that. There's some speculation among transit advocates that Jay Walter comes from London. In London, they have cameras everywhere so that you have greater enforcement tools than you do here currently in New York City.
That's Jay Walter, the new head of the MTA.
Correct.
So he might be open to that coming from London. So these barriers for the bus lanes on 1st and 2nd Avenue are not in the plan. What is in the plan?
However, the thing that has one transit advocate joked with me that it's actually a bike rapid transit line because all of the plans include significant bike lanes for 1st and 2nd Avenue, 100 blocks in each direction with some kind of protection for bikers from Harlem to the tip of Manhattan. That is seen as a very big achievement for bikers because there's, if you think about biking in Midtown Manhattan, there isn't a lot of place where you can go as a biker where you can actually be protected from traffic. So that is one of the things that is in the plan. The other thing that they are do have in some of the versions of the plan is potentially two lanes for buses. And they also have off-board payment, which is something that has been shown to really slow down the buses is people paying when they get on board. So if you buy a ticket beforehand, you basically what you do is you put in your Metro card, you get a ticket, and you get on. It makes boarding that much faster.
That's also what they do on that BX12 line in the Bronx. They have little machines at each stop where you swipe your Metro card and you get a little receipt. And then they don't even ask you to show the receipt. You just get on the bus and you file on. And that's supposed to stop that bottleneck that we see, especially on the crosstown buses in Manhattan, where there's this long line of people and everybody has to swipe. I did actually see somebody get arrested on the BX12, or at least ticketed and escorted off, because what they do is spot checks. And I was riding that bus one day across Fordham Road, and at one of the stops, on came some transit inspectors, and they asked people for their receipts. And sure enough, somebody didn't have it. Since they don't check for them, like you swipe the Metro card when you enter the bus, some people try to get away with it. And they escorted the person off the bus, and I think it's a $100 fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that they have in transit systems the world over is this honor system. I mean, the thing about the Bronx Select bus service is that even though the lanes are not segregated, at rush hour, I've taken that bus at rush hour. It works better than a regular bus, for sure. Then the other thing on 1st and 2nd Avenue that Jeanette Sadiq Khan was advocating that may fall away from the plan is bus bulbs, and a bus bulb is sort of like a little kind of pedestrian island that kind of juts out into the street where you can wait for the bus so that people park behind the pedestrian island, and you have the bus not driving in and out of traffic, which is another thing that is slowing down. There is one version of the plan that still has that, but there's a sort of the inside line is that will not be part of the final plans that will come out.
So, listeners, what do you think about these plans as you're hearing them from our own Andrea Bernstein covering transportation? About 1st and 2nd Avenue, 212-433-WNYC. Do you like the idea of so-called bus rapid transit? Do you like the idea of segregated bike lanes? That is, with a little raised island, I guess, right?
There are different possibilities. One is that they would be protected by parked cars. One is that they would be protected by sort of small metal barriers in a series. You can see the plans, and we'll set up a link to that shortly.
Where 100 blocks in each direction from the lower tip of Manhattan up to Harlem. What do you think of this? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, let's see. If there's room for a protected bike lane and there's room for a dedicated bus lane for bus rapid transit, how much do cars get squeezed in this plan?
Well, there's a picture of a completely congested Manhattan block juxtaposed with a bus that Paul Steely White of Transportation Alternatives likes to show around at his slideshows. They both have the same number of people moving down the block. So you can have one bus or you can have a block full of traffic. Most of 1st and 2nd Avenues are very wide. There are six lanes there. So there's an awful lot of room. And the theory is, with these bus lines, is that if you can actually get those buses moving quickly, what would you do? Would you hop in a cab and be stuck in traffic, or would you get on the fast bus if you had to go 20 blocks downtown on the east side of Manhattan? So the theory is that is one way to actually get more people out of single or double occupancy vehicles and put them in these mass transit vehicles.
Vic in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Vic.
Yes, I've noticed in the last several years that more and more people get off the entrance of a bus rather than use the rear door. And I've actually seen people standing next to the rear door walk all the way to the front to get off. And I think one of the reasons is that they have to push the rear door open. And it's a bother, particularly if they're carrying something. So why not just have the rear doors open as the front doors do.
Thank you for your call. Having nothing to do with what we're talking about, but...
Well, one of the things is that,
you know,
what time is it?
Oh, it's to make the buses go faster.
What time is it? It's almost 11 o'clock, so last time I checked, it was still in the MTA capital plan to have special buses that would allow easier access to boarding. More doors, not having to step up and step down, which is something that slows people, especially if you think about the population of the east side of Manhattan, a lot of elderly people on those buses, difficult for them to navigate stairs. So the idea is to make boarding easier. And of course, since you're not paying, it doesn't matter if you come on and or off the rear door. So the idea is that there is a still a plan for buses along those lanes that would get people on and off much more quickly.
And one of the things, and if people are riding buses recently, you know they're starting to put announcements on the bus asking people to please exit through the rear doors to reduce that bottleneck at the front. Also, on that Bronx bus rapid transit line, because it's an honor system, they open both the front doors and the back doors for people to enter at each stop as well as exit, and that also makes it go faster. Rebecca in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello. I was an advocate for much of this changes so that buses, that bicyclists could travel through the city. But at this point, I am afraid of bicyclists. They follow absolutely no traffic rules. They go against the lights. They go through the lights. They go against the traffic. And unless they start to license bicyclists like they do cars and ticket them for all their infractions, I would be terrorized to have more bicyclists on the street.
And Rebecca, we certainly have many people with that concern, many, many New Yorkers with that concern, more people than who ride bikes. Andrea, I think it's safe to say.
Right. I mean, what
is
the
is there any kind of plan, you know, to either somehow coerce or just try to instill better behavior on the part of bikers?
Well, the DOT says that there is a plan. There are plans for stepped up enforcement of bikers following traffic rules. There is a ticketing program that is in effect sporadically. There are clearly bicyclists who have very dangerous habits. But what the DOT likes to say is that as there are more bikers on the street, it actually overall, the streets are becoming safer. And as a matter of fact, the DOT is, and the mayor are preparing to release statistics we had an inside peek at that shows that all traffic accidents are lower than they were when they started getting gathering statistics in 1910. So that means when there were horses and buggies on the streets, there were more accidents than there were in New York City in 2009.
Isn't that amazing? And if you look at 2009 in New York City, we had a record low number of murders. We had a record low number of fire deaths, and we had a record low number of traffic accident deaths.
Right. And, you know, for the DOT, this is a big vindication because the city, they got the mayor and Jeanette Sadikhan got a lot of criticism for the bike lanes and for other measures that they've put in, the Times Square pedestrian plaza and a number of measures that slow traffic but make life safer for pedestrians, and they see this as a vindication of those measures that they are bringing the fatalities down so far.
And I would say half the callers on our board are pedestrians concerned about bicycle behavior. How do the merchants along 1st and 2nd Avenue feel about this? Because that was one of the other big controversies regarding the bike lanes last year, is that along Delancey Street and some other places, merchants feel like if the bike lanes are there, it's not easy for people to just stop and get out of their cars and go shopping.
You know, there isn't a lot of parking on 1st and 2nd Avenue during many peak hours, so that is not likely to be as competition. A lot of the plans still include some parking some of the time. It's not the sort of same kind of small businesses that you see. So we haven't heard yet a big outcry from merchants on the 1st and 2nd Avenue plans.
Michael in Brooklyn currently commutes on the east side on bicycle. Michael, what do you think about all this fear of bikers?
Hi. Well, you know, like you just said, I commute every day from Brooklyn up 1st Avenue and back down 2nd at the end of the day. And I understand that there's a lot of sort of building animosity towards bikers, both from drivers who think we're taking their lanes and the pedestrians who are worried about our habits. But, you know, right now, the bikers are already there. We're already taking up the lane from the cars. You know, we're taking our life into our own risk, so sometimes we end up doing things accidentally or some of us intentionally against pedestrians. And I think if we had our own bike lane, that a lot of those problems would be solved. I think things would move more smoothly. We wouldn't feel like we had to make such risky, you know, judgments in order to protect our own lives, and maybe put a pedestrian more at risk because we'd be in our own space.
Gotcha. Michael, thank you. Andrea, we've got 2 minutes left. WNYC's Andrea Bernstein, looking at some of these transportation futures and looking a little further to the future than this, which they hope to institute later this year. There's some kind of idea for dedicated bus lines through the Lincoln Tunnel?
Right. The Port Authority is looking at a plan to have an additional bus lane through the Lincoln Tunnel. So there's now four inbound lanes
in the
morning.
Don't we have buses streaming in and out of Port Authority on dedicated
lanes now? And what they're
saying
is that the bus lane that they have has reached capacity, so that they want to add another lane but allow people to buy their way into that lane. And they actually did a survey, and they asked people, would you pay $10 to save 20 minutes of travel time? And they found that two-thirds of the people surveyed said some of the time they would do that. So they're actually looking at a system where you'd have a bus lane, it would move faster, but you could, as a single person driving a car, you could buy your way in if you were in a hurry.
So is this going to cause a populist revolt? Special fast traffic lanes for the rich?
Well, they claim that it's already a quite high-income crowd anyway that is driving in by themselves through the Lincoln Tunnel during rush hour, and that quite a few of them are subsidized by their employers. So they believe that there is the financial means to do it, and they argue you'd get more people in. Right now, 80% of the people come in through buses, so their theory is you could get even more percentage on mass transit with this plan.
And 15 seconds, even further in the future, market rate pricing for parking meters?
It's something that the city is looking at. They're collecting data on. Expect to hear a lot more about it.
Well, one thing we can say is that in his third term, Mayor Bloomberg is not ceasing to try to innovate with things that he thinks are good for the city, right?
No, they haven't yet backed down.
WNYC's Andrea Bernstein. Thanks a lot. Brian Lehrer and WNYC.